Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina, and thank you so much for joining me today. I believe today is April 14th, 2019. Today, I decided to talk about crystals. I've been going back and forth on what topic this week too many times, and for some reason, crystals just kept coming up, and I thought I would do my best to review what I know about crystals and my own experiences working with them. So I would like to preface this by saying that I'm not, I'm not going to say I'm not an enthusiast, because I am, but I'm not an aficionado, because there's a lot that I don't know. And truthfully, today I do work with crystals, but not in an extensive way, even though apparently I've been shown I should be working with them a little bit more. So I want to tell you at the start what my initial, reception was of utilizing crystals in general. So if you've been following along, you all know that I come from, I know this is redundant, but I think it's important to discuss this at the beginning, or at least reiterate it, that I, you know, was raised in a very Christian family, and I truthfully had no knowledge about the New Age crystals, etc. But having kind of embraced now some of the, I would say, tenets of this movement, and for most of you, if you know about the New Age or have at least heard about it, then you have at least minimal knowledge, or at least an association of the New Age with crystals, right? So there's kind of this nasty lingering stereotype about what the actual movement entails. And I think for most of us, it kind of invokes, maybe images of hippies, you know, wearing crystals all over their bodies. It just seems kind of silly, to be perfectly honest. And that was kind of my initial reaction as well, because I thought, you know, who are these people that are worshiping rocks? I don't understand it. And it was a horrible judgment at the beginning. And I'm sure most of you who've never, or some of you who've never, I don't know, never been interested or have never used them or know that stereotype, probably thought the same thing, or at least now are thinking the exact same thing. And I totally get it. So when I first started to kind of do some exploration into all types of tools of divination and what have you, crystals did come up again and again and again. And truthfully, like I said, I thought it was a bunch of BS. I cannot lie. However, that was a bigger leap for me to take, because, like I said, I personally don't believe in worshiping objects of any sort, any idols. I worship, you know, I don't believe in that concept at all in any capacity. So for me, I guess there was just this nasty association of, you know, this movement worshiping crystals as some form of idol or what have you. Anyway, I can't say that that's really a wrong association, because what I have found, having been now kind of invested quite a bit of time into studying these facets of this movement, that I think there's kind of some misconceptions, at least in my humble opinion, about using stones and intentionality behind them and what to expect on the back end of using them. So again, at the beginning, I remember watching videos on YouTube, and God help us, because even I'm on there, but you know, some of these can be pretty outrageous, or I'm not sure if the explanation is just not in-depth enough. But I think when I first started and I was watching all these videos, like, oh, this stone does this. Oh, this stone does this. Oh, you know, if you wear this, then this, and if you carry this here, you know, this is solved. That was my first initial, I guess you can say, experience, or with trying to understand crystals, stones, what have you, that there was an assumption that if you carried a particular stone, then, you know, this problem, whatever it is going to be completely solved, right? like, oh, if I carry, you know, this stone, then I'm, you know, then I love myself. Self-love, it's a done deal after 5 days of wearing the stone. So I think that that's a common thread in when it comes to what stones are used for and how they're used and what to expect them to do, right? How do they work? So that was kind of also my initial understanding too, was that, oh, you know, they solve problems on their own, of their own accord. Thus, we worship them. And I do think that that is some people's, you know, belief. And not to be disrespectful or judgmental, but that's not really my belief. In and of themselves, I think that everything of this planet does carry a particular type of energy and vibration, and we've had this discussion before. However, everything vibrates at a very different rate, and I think everything on the planet is here for a purpose. So with that said, I do think that, yes, the different types of minerals that create certain types of stones do carry particular types of energy, just like we do. So I think that utilizing crystals, stones, what have you, in conjunction with your energy and intentionality behind it, it assists you in manifesting, healing, creating, awakening, intuiting, all of that. So they're also there to help you, but you're working together. It's never one working directly for the other. Okay. So, but again, at the outset, I was like, this is just total BS. I don't get it. This is silliness. where is the, you know, depth of this? I just found a very huge disconnect. So I remember watching a lot of videos and no, I wasn't going to, you know, work. I wasn't going to do it. I'm trying to remember the exact day where I took the risk, because again, if you're moving out of any other, you know, religious system, if it's not even Christianity, it's some other religious system, and you're kind of trying to embrace all of these new philosophies, if you will, these new beliefs, it's challenging to say the least. And you feel kind of like a fool always at the beginning, right? It feels kind of awkward. But I was so, I remember praying. This is exactly what happened, actually. I remember watching a lot of videos, still kind of confused. And I remember one night I prayed and I was like, look, you know, God. I was like, I just don't know if I'm there, if I can get there. I think my judgment and my suspicion is too high for this. My skepticism is just overwhelming. And I prayed about it and said, okay, God, if these really, you know, can assist us with certain things, then please show me, because I am too deep into, you know, skeptic-hood. And I had a dream that night. And I had a dream that I was walking behind this lady and I was in this long line. I feel like we were going into a museum or some sort of, well, I think it was in a museum. Anyway, she had something bulging out of her right pocket and she was holding on to it like really tightly. And I think she was like five people ahead of me and I was trying to catch up to her. And I remember being very frustrated and impatient in the dream. And I kept telling people, this lady has something that's mine. This lady has something that's mine. I desperately need it. And I just cut out a line. I went up to her and I reached into her pocket and I tried to take it out and she was fighting me for it. And I said, look, this is really mine. I really need it. And you have it. And I don't know why you have it. And when I pulled it out, it was this massive piece of rose quartz. How crazy is that, right? I remember waking up that morning thinking, what? What? You know, thus began my exploration into all things crystals. So if this is your first, I would say, you know, time trying to understand, then I can understand, again, your initial skepticism, and I feel you. However, based upon my own journey, what I can say is when I took that rose quartz, I wasn't really sure what the heck to do with it, and I didn't even know what rose quartz was for. Nothing like that. Now, granted, I had, and we've already kind of reviewed this, I had studied the chakras because at that point I had been meditating quite a bit. You know, I learned to open, close, clear, balance, everything you could think of. I tried it all and consistently was you know, in the practice of doing it every day. And so when I read up on rose quartz, which is a really pretty pink stone, I read that it's for the heart chakra. And I'm thinking, what do I need that for? Right? So what do? I go on to our favorite place, Amazon.com, and I look up all these, you know, necklaces for rose quartz. And I was like, I'm not really, you know, and I'm not feeling the pink. I'm going to get three other ones plus the pink, of course. So I ordered all of them, and they came in a few days later. And I remember I had several sterling silver chains left over. And I remember I had to run a lot of errands that day. So I put on, the first one I put on was, I bought lapis lazuli, and I'm going to go through all these stones and everything towards the end. And it's a darker blue stone, and I thought it was really pretty. I was really familiar with the stone because it's an ancient Egyptian stone. And I remember wearing it for not even 15 minutes, and my necklace broke. I was so ticked off because it was, I had, like I said, a few silver chains, but I was thinking, what? So I put it away, and I actually grabbed a different stone, and it was amethyst. And lo and behold, 20 minutes later, that necklace broke. And I'm not lying here. I was so like, you've got to be kidding me. What's going on? And I'm making this story a lot shorter than what occurred. But finally, I decided to just put the rose quartz on. That necklace never broke. So for me, it was a telltale sign that that is really what I was supposed to be wearing, and I just refused to accept it. And then I learned a week later, after I had been consistently wearing it, that when you're first starting on this type of, on the path to doing this type of work, that rose quartz is usually like the number one stone you should be wearing for quite some time for healing, right? So that was really my gateway into kind of working a little bit with crystals. Like I said, it's not something that is my prime focus, but I use them. So anyway, if you are familiar with the chakras, try to do a deeper dive into crystals, then you probably already have the knowledge that certain crystals are associated with certain chakras, and that's usually how they're used. I would say that's the number one way they're used for healing the chakras, for opening, clearing, balancing the chakras. However, of course, there are a number of other ways that you can use crystals, and I don't have time to address it all today, and I also don't have that that knowledge because, like I said, it's not my prime focus, but I will review things that I do know. So if we kind of refer to the chakras themselves, which is a great way to really understanding crystals in general, we know that, again, we have seven chakras: the root, sacral, solar, heart, throat, brow, third eye, and crown, right? And for each one, there's a color associated. So the root is red, sacral orange, solar is yellow, heart is green, throat is light blue, the brow is indigo, and the crown can be violet or white. So when we look at crystals, we can color code them that way, right? So all crystals being red for the most part, rule of thumb, are associated with the root chakra. There are exceptions, and I'll review that shortly. All crystals that are orange related to the sacral, yellow related to solar plexus, crystals being pink and green related to the heart, crystals being light blue to the throat, stones or crystals that are, I would say, more of an indigo color, are like a really, really, really dark, intense type of bluish purple, are associated with the brow chakra, and then crystals that are violet or clear associated with the crown chakra. So like I said, there are exceptions for this, but that is a general rule of thumb that will teach you how to even begin with crystals. So just to review how to use them at the beginning, and even kind of like how I use them. So as I said, I wore rose quartz around my neck for months, for a long time, until that thing dropped dead. It was like, please, I'm done. This is too much work for me. And it was done. And then whenever I need to to kind of move on to something else or wear something else, usually it'll come to me in a dream or in meditation. I'll be shown. It's not something that I actively seek and ask, but it will come if I think my guide feels I really need it at the time. So in addition to wearing them as a necklace, I tried what I saw on YouTube, okay? So I did purchase like a chakra set, or at least stones that, you know, were in association with the chakras. And as you will find in many videos, you'll see they're used in healing, right? Or chakra balancing, which is what I was aiming to do. So I would lay down and I would put, you know, the corresponding rock with the corresponding chakra and line them up on my body. And I would meditate, clear white light meditation, and just do that consistently. I can't say at the beginning that I noticed any changes. I really didn't. I didn't feel any energy from stones. Now, I should also say I have kind of weak clairsentience. It is not my strongest ability whatsoever. It has become a lot stronger, but is still kind of really weak sauce. And it's not something that I has ever been, I don't know, I've never had it on my list of things to do. Like, okay, I must get this clairsentience. I just kind of accepted, you know, it is what it is. However, I can say, like, for some people, they're super sensitive. So if you go into a metaphysical store and that store is just kind of covered with a bunch of stones and you start to get an extreme headache and dizziness, you probably want to walk out because you already have a developed and very strong clairsentience, and the energies of the stones, because they are energies and they do vibrate, probably are interfering with your energy, or it's just so strong you can feel it. It's going to make you nauseous. And the only reason I say that is because that is how I feel them now. But it took me, and there's no lie behind this, a good 4 or 5 years, plural, to feel that type of energy. Because again, number one, I'm not clairsentient. I can feel spirits, but when it comes to stones, I couldn't feel crap. And I did practice for, I think I gave it a good 6 months at the beginning of all this. And after that, I was like, look, I get it. It's just not my, you know, it's not my thing. I can accept that and just, you know, kept moving. But after all this time, for some reason, something shifted in me, which I still don't know. And I began to really feel them, so much so that I keep them kind of in a box until I really need them, because I do get that, if you want to say motion sickness, that's fine, where I feel really, really dizzy and I feel very nauseous with certain stones. So you're not going to find me wearing like a ton of stuff unless I really need to, or that's just kind of my thing. But if you're somebody who, again, who's very clairsentient and can sense everything, I wouldn't be surprised if you have a sensitivity to the types of energies. And I will say personally, since my clairsentience has apparently improved a little bit, I have noticed that certain stones do carry a stronger vibration. They really, really do. Some of them I couldn't even wear because I would feel sick, and I realized, okay, it's a lot stronger than my weak energy and I have to work up to it. So that's also a kind of a little side story, but what I have experienced. So as I said, going back at the beginning, I was kind of using them just to put on the corresponding chakra, clear my energy and let it go. And that's really what I did. That's essentially over and over and over and over. That's what I did. And then in meditation, again, sometimes I would hear my guide tell me to start using whatever stone and I would buy it and use it. But I don't know if it worked because I never noticed any real changes, to be blunt. So there was a lot of faith involved in this work. In terms of how else to use these stones, well, as I said, the prime reason, or the primary usage for me has been just chakra work, clearing everything out, amplifying. And I know you can use it for crystal grids. Let me just say, if you're new to stones and crystals, then maybe you don't know about crystal grids, but then that makes two of us. I don't, like I said, I don't use these that in depth for multiple reasons. Nothing negative. It's just, I have other interests. But you can use grids to create something, to protect, to heal, etc. If you are really interested, I would highly advise you go online and find some books on crystal grids and crystals and, you know, get your thing on, because they can be really powerful and really helpful. So the one thing I wanted to do is go through some stones that are associated with a few of the chakras. So in case you're interested in beginning to like create your own small kit, you only really need to be up to buy 7 stones. If you're not really going to invest a ton of money, or if you don't have a lot to invest, that's totally fine. I would personally advise you only buy 7 stones and then start from there. So again, if we start with the root chakra, you can consider buying the following. And again, it's really up to you. I would go, if I were you, go with your gut, with what you see and what you feel, and then purchase it. It doesn't have to be a huge stone. I'd recommend it being bigger than a dime. But you can get your stones in either tumbled, which means it's been polished format, or and if it's just rough in its natural formation, either one works just fine. Some people are more purist, therefore they want the natural look, which is totally fine. So in terms of what to consider for the root chakra, you can buy bloodstone, black tourmaline, because again, black stones are also associated with the root chakra, okay? Garnet, red hematite. I think you can even get black hematite, onyx, a stone I really like, pyrite, red jasper, which is what I'm currently using, ruby or smoky quartz. And remember that the root chakra, you use these stones for protection, grounding, I would say also abundance and a sense of security. All right, so moving to the sacral chakra, you can, if you want to purchase the stone for this chakra, then you can consider purchasing amber, which is what I love, carnelian, which is what I use. You can also use, there's a stone, oh God, I can't even think of it. Well, I would say stick with those for now, because there's another stone that I've seen, I just don't have, and I can't remember the name. Remember, these stones for your sacral chakra are used for creativity. They can be used to help with emotions and sexuality. All right, so moving to the solar plexus chakra, you can consider purchasing calcite, citrine, tiger's eye, topaz, yellow jasper. And also, I've read that you can also use amber for this chakra as well. So remember, again, in the solar plexus, these stones would be used for helping to build confidence, your self-esteem, developing that personal power, and helping, I believe, with motivation and drive. All right. So moving on to the luscious heart chakra, which is not the most important chakra, but it is significant because it connects the upper and lower chakras. So it's also known as the gateway chakra, right? So that's one you probably want to focus on all the time, but especially at the beginning. So stones for this chakra, you can use chrysocolla, emerald, green aventurine, which is usually my drug of choice for this chakra, or rose quartz, of course, jade, peridot, unakite, and watermelon tourmaline. I will say you can use malachite, which is probably my favorite stone on this planet, believe it or not. However, I will say, personally, malachite was that stone where it's a luscious green. It is so beautiful that when I have it in a heart shape too, and I'll talk about the shapes in a minute, but I remember wearing it once, and holy crap, I don't know what the deal is with that stone, but it was way too strong for me. That was a stone that made me extremely sick whenever I would touch it, whenever I'd put it on. And it took me a very long time, starting off with a small piece, to kind of work up to that energy, because to me, it's very powerful stone. It's my favorite stone. I think it's beautiful. But again, find a stone that matches better with your energy, especially at the beginning. So for the heart chakra, these stones are going to be used for love, compassion, self-love, connection, and forgiveness and self-forgiveness. All right, moving to the throat chakra. In terms of stones, you can look at purchasing angel light, which I think is a beautiful stone, blue calcite, blue kyanite, blue topaz, which is what I use in conjunction with blue lace agate. And I've read you can use sodalite for the throat chakra, but I feel like I use it for the brow chakra because of the coloring. You can also use turquoise as well. So remember that for the throat chakra, these stones are going to be used to help with communication, self-expression, finding some sort of clarity, and expressing your own truth. All right, moving to the third eye or brow chakra. Stones associated with the brow or third eye chakra, as I said, sodalite, lapis lazuli, sapphire, sugarlite, and then azurite, which is my favorite actually to use with the third eye chakra. That's another stone that when I first picked it up, and it's a gorgeous stone, and I put it on my brow chakra, I felt like my brow chakra was like shaking. I was trying to think of the appropriate word. It was vibrating so hard, I took it off, thinking, maybe this is, you know, going to close my eye. Is this going to help with opening it? What's the deal with this? I don't get it. It's way too strong. However, again, start off with a smaller piece and then work up to it. It's such a beautiful, luscious, like navy blue. I think it's my favorite stone for the third eye. All right. So again, these stones are used for developing that psychic ability, your clairvoyance, you know, your psychic sight. It helps with developing your intuition, kind of harnessing and accessing that inner wisdom. I would also say, even though I think this is for two chakras, I think it assists in kind of going into the hall of records, allowing you to see the Akashic records. And I'll talk about all of that in another episode. I'm going to try to get a guest on with me. But that's really all, you know, a series of your past lives. So being able to see that. All right, so moving on to the last chakra, and I know because people will say there are 12 or 22 chakras. I'm aware. However, for our sake today, there are only 7. So crown chakra. Ah, and there's a side story. I hope I can remember this. For the crown chakra, you can use stones that are violet or clear quartz. So associated with your crown, of course, amethyst, clear quartz, diamond, Herkimer diamond. I don't know why I feel like I just got that. And I'll tell you a little story about that one too. Serpentine. And remember that these stones are used for, I would say, connecting to source energy, opening up the crown, accessing the, yes, also intuition. But I think it also helps to develop your claircognizance, right? There's a lot of knowledge sitting. There's a lot of, let me not say knowledge. There are areas of, I believe, and this is not at all scientific, but I can only speak from experience, where I think when we get the knowledge or get information, it does come through our channel, right? Starting off from the crown, going all the way down to the root. So I think that that's where we're kind of channeling information from the divine. However, I do think that in certain parts of your head houses certain types of knowledge. And I only say that because when I do Reiki on myself, I can tell when I'm working on certain sections, certain types of information come through, which I've noticed now for quite some time. So I think everything is case specific. So yours might be totally different, but that's kind of something I've noticed on the side. So in terms of Herkimer diamond, this is I only own a tiny piece because it's expensive, and I was very fortunate enough for my sister to buy me a tiny piece and send it to me. And again, when she started sending me stones, again, I was still like the skeptic. However, when I started working with that tiny little stone. Again, it was one of those stones that was super strong. So much so, I just kind of put it in a little box and let it have a new home because I can't say for some reason, but when I would either put it on my crown, my body was vibrating so fast. I was nervous. Like, I get very nervous when I have that experience because I don't know how far you can take it. And I don't know, I guess I have a fear of kind of projecting out like my spirit out of my body. And I'm like, oh, heck no, not today. So no, not ready for that. All right. Something else that I didn't state. I want to talk about another stone possibly that you can use I don't know if this is for the crown chakra, but I believe in my soul that it is. So I believe you can also use gold. I think gold has a very, very high vibration. And although I know that people have been exploited for gold and consistently are for even a lot of these stones, so you have to be responsible, you know, where you're purchasing your stones. I want to talk a little bit about gold because when you think about, well, when you've done your meditations, and if you're still in the early stages of doing meditations, that's totally fine, but I'm sure you have already seen on our favorite place, YouTube, white light meditations, right, for cleansing, and other people have all kinds of meditations, which is totally fine. However, my guide, at the very beginning of this work, when I was doing all the white light meditations, he started having me use other colors. And I noticed that with certain types of light, the color of the light, it does carry again its own vibration. And to me, gold is the highest. This is my little secret that I've kept. Gold, for me, at least for myself, has the strongest mofo energy. And I have to be honest about that because I know that I don't do it purposefully on a daily basis. I might do it twice a week because I know how strong it is in my body. But I also know that above the crown, you obviously have many other chakras. And I know there is a level, and for lack of a better word, or an area where there is gold. It's like gold energy. And it looks that way. And the only way that I kind of know that. Now, I'm sure many of you have gone to get like aura photography. And if not, I highly recommend it. Years ago, I went with my friends to this crystal fair in San Francisco, and I loved it. And they had aura photography. And it was like on super sale, $25. If it's not on super sale, this is so expensive. So if you go somewhere and you see that it's like under $200, consider getting one if you're really that invested. So none of my other friends really cared for it. They were like, oh, it doesn't matter, I don't care. And I said, well, I'm going to go get mine. So I went and got mine. And by the way, the table out in front was covered with photos of everybody's like aura colors. And there were some cool ones. And I walked by this lady on my way there. And she had hers pinned to her chest. And it was the coolest one I think I had seen all day. And it was literally a rainbow, just a perfect rainbow. And I was like, oh God, I hope mine's like that. You know, I was like, I hope there's no horns in the back of this picture. Not knowing what to expect at all, I had the picture done. And this was, God, I have to say this was 4 or 5 years ago. And so after they, you know, get the Polaroid printed, one of the readers will come over and talk to you and kind of read what's going on in your energy. And this lady was so spot on. It kind of creeped me out. But the one thing I never knew was that this whole area of gold existed way above the crown, because in my picture, there was this huge layer of just nothing but gold at the top. And I'm thinking, what is that? You know? And she said, oh, you have the ability to channel really well. And, I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that it looked like that. And that's at least my understanding of it. So I know that there are way more chakras. I know they're in the hands and the feet and all over, but extending upward above the body. So you can, if you want to work with gold, I believe it helps to develop your ability to channel figures, if you will, beings of white light. That's the best way to put it. Okay. What else did I want to tell you? I wanted to review a little bit about some of these shapes, and this will be the last thing that I cover. So, if you've gone to a crystal fair, even if not, you're going to see crystals in all types of shapes, and I do not know the meanings behind all the geometric shapes. I know some, and that's what I'm going to give you today. I can advise you to a couple of people who are totally proficient in this, and if you're interested, just hit me up and I will send that information out. So let's talk about pyramids first. I love them. I just like the shape. I think they're cool, and I own a few. At the time, did I know what they were for? A little bit. But you'll see a lot of stones, different colors and varieties in pyramid shapes. My understanding of the pyramid is that it enhances energy. It's an amplifier. So this means that it will amplify your intentions. It will raise your vibration. And it really, I would say, is a really good tool for helping to manifest something, to bring something into being. So if you are trying to manifest, I don't know, a project, if you're trying to manifest money, I would probably get it in like green aventurine or a green stone and work with that. Oh, that's right. I feel like my guide is giving me like a lot of my memories of things I've done in the past that I didn't write down. So I'm like, thank you, sir. So in terms of manifesting money with the pyramid, so the pyramid amplifies. So you're going to want a green one, and then you're going to want to put money underneath that pyramid, and then you put times three. So if you want to manifest, I don't know, $300, I would put a $100 bill. I know that sounds crazy, under the pyramid and just put times three. And it's better to kind of start this on a full moon, believe it or not. So there's a little bit of the paganism in me too coming out. So that's some private information I'm sharing with you today. All right. So the second crystal shape that you can work with is a sphere, i.e. the crystal ball that we're all aware of fortune tellers using in the past, right? For scrying. Some people do have the ability to really see in stones like that. I don't know if I can do it. I have been told by many people that I should be working with that. And, you know, crystal balls are not cheap. but I've still thought about it because I'm curious to see if it would work. I have to admit, I'm still a bit skeptical about that. But as we all know, that they are used for scrying, so being able to see. So it does help with the third eye chakra. So it will assist with clear thinking, clear seeing. Now, if you look at the actual shape of the sphere, it means just because it's like a perfect ball, energy moves from this ball in all directions. So therefore, you should be able to see the past and the future. All right. If you're asking me what material or what type of crystal it needs to be made out of, my personal opinion is that you should get a clear quartz ball. But if you want an obsidian or smoky quartz or whatever kind it comes in, have at it. Trust your gut and ask your guide. He, she will help you. All right, so if you see stones in a heart shape, which is the one I have the most of because apparently that needs the most repair, hearts are pretty self-explanatory in the fact that they help you to heal your heart. They help you with a lot of grief work. Helps you to attract love, obviously, if you wear the red or pink one. And it helps to heal emotional wounds. And I would advise, if you're trying to do some like healing work on the inside, get a green aventurine heart or some sort of green heart to work with. And again, go back to the chakras and kind of link things up and you'll be able to understand how to use these stones. All right, so moving to crystal wands, which I've seen at a lot of metaphysical crystal fairs. I don't use them. I am a Reiki practitioner, and I have friends who I've watched use the crystal wands, but I don't know why I'm not drawn to them. So a friend of mine, he is also like level two Reiki, and we both have been practicing for a few years. And so one year, we went to a mutual friend's house, and he brought his, you know, little bag of crystal wands. And he said, okay, we're going to try this on you to see if this has any, you know, feeling, any impact. And I was all about it because, you know, I'm a risk taker. I'm willing to have the wands used on me. So I remember closing my eyes and I could feel and see like the energy of these two people working on me. But in certain sections, it really felt insanely cool. And those are the areas where he used the crystal wands. So I think they do work. I'm not going to lie. And I would love to watch people use them. It's not, you know, my jam, but I do recommend them. And so from what I know is that the Reiki practitioner, the energy healer, can use them to channel energies like through the body and kind of clear out some of the blockages. So it's a pretty cool tool. Okay, so moving on to the egg shape. I love the egg shape. I think it's because in meditation for a while, I've been seeing eggs, like brand new eggs. And so my definition of an egg is a new beginning, something brand new that has yet to be hatched and created. So if you're in the process, again, of creating something at the very initial, you know, if you're at the beginning, then I would say get an egg, a crystal egg, and put that by you as you're starting to develop the project. Again, what color stone? That is up to you. Ask your intuition. Follow that. So let's move on to crystal skulls. Now, I've never used them, but I have been interested in using them. And I have a friend who has some. I've been told that the crystal skulls help connect you to your ancestors, your spirit guides, any kind of master teachers, essentially, which is pretty cool because I didn't really know that. And I think now I'm going to purchase a little miniature crystal skull to see if it will connect me, if it'll help to kind of give me a stronger connection, let's just say, to my guide or to my ancestors. So if you're somebody who does ancestor veneration or worship or works closely with your ancestors, I would recommend getting a crystal skull. Maybe the bond will be even stronger. That link will be stronger between you guys. Okay. Lastly, moving on to the cube shape. I know there are other shapes, but this is all I'm addressing today. So you will find on Amazon and other places little kits of geometric shapes that have the cube, the sphere, has the pyramid, has everything. If you're really interested in doing this, invest in a little kit and work with it and see how it goes. All right. So in terms of the cube, from my understanding, the cube can actually ground your energy, or at least it's used to stabilize your energy. I think if you have a lot of chaotic energy in your life, it might be kind of good to have that in your house. And I've also been told that you can place, if you get four of these, you can place one in the four corners of your room to seal, protect, and even ground the energy of your space, kind of anchoring that energy to get some stability in your house and in your life. If you feel brave enough to come out of the psychic closet, then I would buy four stones and I'd put them at your desk at work. One in each corner, again, to kind of stabilize if it's chaotic energy. If you feel frantic at work or anxious, it kind of will tone the energy down of that space. So I would consider kind of doing that. Also, if you have negative energy, I would consider getting them, if they make them, in onyx or black tourmaline or even obsidian, and kind of putting them around. You can put them at the corners of your desk or underneath your desk at the four corners to kind of anchor that energy again and stabilize that energy. I believe it will even seal and protect that space. If you're someone who is prone to being ungrounded like myself, then again, consider putting either, I would say maybe for the root chakra, putting like red jasper, if they make them in red jasper, in the four corners of your room, or again, like an onyx, or even obsidian, or even maybe, yeah, garnet or black tourmaline, you can kind of, or even hematite, put them in the four corners of your room to kind of ground that energy and give you that stability. Whew, I made it through. There's so much to be said about crystals. And all I can say is if you're interested and you want to know what you should be working with at the beginning of your journey, because everybody is different. I always have my own personal recommendations from what I have been taught, But you need to go to source directly because I don't know your journey. Only you know where you're at, what you've been through, and what you can handle. So if you want to start working with crystals in any capacity, I would light a white candle at night and call on your guide and angels or whatever beings that you work with and ask them to show you in a dream or show you a sign of the type of crystal you should be wearing at the moment to help get you started. And you will be shown. Do not give up. You must have faith. And I do have to say that because it's so easy when we don't get that fast turnaround to kind of give up. Therefore, trust, let it go, and you will be shown in some crazy form or fashion. It could be on TV. It could be on a billboard. It could be hearing somebody while you're walking and passing and they're talking about a stone or in the best way, meditation or dream, please. That's always my way. So, everyone, I really hope that this has been helpful today. I did my best to cover a topic that I am 75% familiar with. Again, if you're really interested, I can refer you to some people that I know are very much so into utilizing crystals and are extremely knowledgeable. You can find me, as always, on All Things Spiritual on YouTube. You can find me on infinitesupply.org if you're interested in taking any classes with me or going through any coaching sessions. I specifically design them for you. All right, everybody, have a great week, and I will be back next week with a nice, cool episode.